chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. This morning, I want to, before I get into the message, and I hope I don't get in trouble with my wife. She just said, "Oh, Lord." After the events that took place this past week with the mayor of Houston subpoenaing pastors for their sermons, I want to go ahead and boldly and loudly say that I stand not with my opinion on what homosexuality, you know, how it should be defined, but I stand on the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God says that it's wrong, and I don't have a place to stand other than the Word of God. So if the mayor of Savannah or any other politician wants to come and subpoena all my messages, I've got over 500 on my computer that I'll gladly give them. Maybe they'll read them. You know, I've had a lot of pastor friends, you know, contact me this past week and ask me, you know, what how do you think it's going? You know, what do you think's going on? Hey, listen, it's going to get worse than that. It really is. I hope y'all don't ever have to come bail me out of jail because I don't look good in orange. But, I'm not going to back down from what the Word of God says. And Lord help the preacher who does. That has nothing to do with my message. That was just extra. We have been in a series the past few weeks as we've considered different aspects of the rapture of the church. We've seen that Jesus raptures the church. When Jesus raptures the church, it's going to be a glorious day for the church. It's going to be a glorious day for the church. When Jesus raptures the church, it is going to be a glorious day for the church. There we go. All right, now we're awake now. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those who have accepted Christ will rise to meet Christ in the air. And we will all go with our Savior to a place we call home, and that's heaven. We saw that when we get home, we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be rewarded for the works that we have done here on earth in the name of Christ. Then we will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Church life for those who are truly saved. Truly saved. Truly saved. It is going to be wonderful. Now, y'all know the Sunday morning crowd. Y'all know what the statisticians say about the Sunday morning crowd. We need to be worried. Do you hear me? Because the Sunday morning crowd are the professors, but there's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of indication that you're possessors. So this morning, I want you to pay close attention to the message that I'm about to preach. Now, church life for those who are truly saved is going to be great. We will go from being alive and breathing to being alive in Christ. But life is not going to be so good for those who remain. Do you hear me? Our life, ones who are truly Christians, you've accepted, you have a head knowledge and a heart knowledge of God. You don't just have a head knowledge. Your heart possesses you to be more than what you are already. You're never satisfied for what you've done with the Lord. You want to continually do more. You don't sit down. You don't back up. You're engaged with this culture, not because of who you are, but because of who Christ is in you. There's a difference. Do you hear me? Those who are truly saved, life is just going to go from one kind of life to a different kind of life. It's going to be wonderful. Amen. But those who remain, it's not going to be great. And I have to tell you, the last 3 years, unless you've been walking through this world blind, everything that's coming out of Scripture, that's pointing towards the rapture of the church, that's pointing towards Christ's return, I mean, it's all coming together. It is all coming together. Mark, you've heard me say this before. I'm not looking for any more signs. I'm listening for a sound. Listen, nothing else has to happen prophetically for Christ to come. The clock started ticking May 14th of 1948 when Israel became a nation. It said, that generation shall not pass away until my return. So anytime from now until, y'all watch for Mr. White. When Mr. White dies, y'all need to start getting really scared. Because that generation is passing away. Scripture says, this generation shall not pass away until my return. Everything is coming together. Christians, we ought to be excited. We really ought to. Those of you who are here or listening to this message over the internet or however you're listening to it, if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you need to be worried. You need to be deathly. You don't need to be worried. You need to be scared. Honestly, I'm going to do my best to tell you what's coming, but I can't even give you the depths of what's coming. Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 34. Luke 17, verse 34. Jesus says, I tell you, on that night, two will be in one bed, one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding grain together, one will be taken, and the other left. Two will be in a field, one will be taken, and the other will be left. Where, Lord? They ask him. And he said unto them, where the corpse is, there also the vultures will be gathered. Where is there a country on this earth that there's not a vulture? Where? Hey, listen, I haven't been a whole lot of places, but I've been to South America, I've been to Central America, I've been, you know, all over America as far as Chicago and Austin, Texas, and I know I've seen pictures in California. Hey, listen, I've been in different parts of Africa, and I'm going to be honest, listen, there's not a place that I've ever been that I've not seen vultures. They're everywhere. Where is this going to take place? All over the world. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I pray that you will give us all attentive hearts. Lord, we need to hear this. The lost and the saved. Those who are playing church need to hear it. Those who are in church need to hear it. Those who are close to you need to hear it. And those who have pushed themselves away from you need to hear this message. And it's not because of me. God, it's because of you. Lord, we need to open our eyes and see what's taking place that we might give you more glory. In Christ's name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. This morning, I want us to kind of look at life as what we know it. Life as we know it. What does life look like now as we know it? You know, I think we have a lot of similarities and we have a lot of differences. If you look at life as I know it, you know, it's pretty simple. It really is. I mean, because preachers don't work but, what, 2 days a week, right? I mean, we really don't do much. We, you know, sing Kumbaya and wear our halos Monday. No, listen, our lives are probably a lot more similar than they are different. You know, we all have our regiments, right? You know, life as we know it. Mark, life as we know it today. Sunday morning, we're here in church. Sunday night, we ought to be in church. Most of us are here in church. Monday, well, let me back up. Sunday night, you know, a lot of us in the church, and listen, if you don't go, you ought to go with us. We usually go out and fellowship as a church and go get something to eat. Everybody's invited, right? Right? I mean, we don't just, okay, I'm just, everybody's invited. And Monday, my wife wakes up at 5:30, right? 5:15, 5:30, and she gets dressed. And the first time I open my eyes generally on Monday morning is when my wife comes in and she shakes me. And she says, I'm going to work. And she gives me a kiss goodbye. And I grab her and I get a second kiss because, I mean, you got to have two, right? And sometimes I'll get up and I'll fix her chocolate milk or, you know, something. But, you know, it's the same Tuesday. You know, after she leaves, I'll get to stir and get a cup. She makes my coffee every morning. You know, and I'll drink my coffee and I'll stir around and I'll come to work and do my... You know, we all have things that take place as we know it, right? We're in a regiment. We have things that we have planned, long term, short term. Church, listen to me. For a Christian, our lives aren't really going to be all that interrupted when Christ comes. Because if your heart's where it ought to be and you're looking the way Scripture's telling you to be looking and you're anticipating the Lord's return, when Christ returns, it's going to be a good thing. When the trumpet of the Lord sounds and it gets your attention and you look outside, because you're going to be, you might be inside, you might be outside, but wherever you are and you hear the trumpet of the Lord, you're going to look for that sound. You are? Listen, and you're going to look for the sound and you're going to hear it again and you're going to look and you're going to look for where it's coming from and you're going to see these strange things floating up in the sky out from under the ground. They might be coming from out of the woods. They might be coming from vapor. They might be coming from dust, but it's going to get your attention. And then something amazing is going to happen. Your everyday, normal, mundane life that you walk through every single day is going to be captured by the presence of God when you are called into the air. It's not going to be a whole lot of difference until you get to heaven. We should be anticipating it. We should be looking for it. We should be enjoying our lives knowing that Christ is coming for us very soon. Amen? But it's not going to be that way for those who are left behind. It's not going to be that way for those who have a head knowledge but not a heart knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be that way. And church, listen to me. We have this fallacy, and I remember before I was truly saved, I mean, I was thinking to myself, well, it's not going to be that bad. I can handle it. And you know what I think is desensitizing people to a certain degree is the walking dead. Well, this is what I do. Man, you wait. Hey, when all this takes place, I'm going to do this and this and this, and I'm going to profess and I'm going to accept Jesus then. I'm going to be ready then. No, you're not. No, you're really not. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to stockpile. I'm going to do this. No, you won't. Church, we're going to be okay if you're saved, if you're truly saved. But those who are left behind, it's not going to be a cakewalk. Can I tell you, as I sat and pondered Luke 17, 34, 36, my heart was just about ready to burst for two reasons. I'm ready. Hey, Miss Dorcas, I'm ready. I really am. I was watching a YouTube video, and I tried to find a video that was suitable so I could get y'all into the mode and you could just, get hyped up and excited about the rapture. And I couldn't find one, but I found this heretic, and y'all don't go looking for him. But he got on there, and he was pointing the finger at Christians and saying, if you're excited about the rapture, the destruction of the world, and he started cussing, okay? You're what kind of person are you? I'm a saved person. Jump on the boat with me. You don't have to be upset about it, Gary. I mean, he doesn't have to be upset, does he? All he has to do is get saved. What a terrible person to anticipate the rapture of the church. No, I'm just a scriptural follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second is a little different. Now, can I tell you what I think the earth will be like just seconds after the rapture? Just seconds. When Christ raptures the church, a lot of things are going to take place. Number one, I believe there's going to be immediate devastation from those who are taken. And y'all have all seen videos. And I heard shortly after I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and it didn't really register with me for some time, but I don't know it to be totally true, but I heard that airline pilots, if you are an airline pilot, that you have to tell whoever your employer is whether you are truly a Christian or not. Because if you are a pilot, they're not going to put you on an airplane with somebody who is another Christian. Well, you would think, well, United Airlines must be a bunch of saved people. No, they're just, they're making provisions. They're going to put a lost person and a saved person together. I guess the pilot can be saved so long as the co-pilot's lost. Now, the co-pilot can be saved as long as the pilot's lost. I mean, really and truly, I mean, it's crazy, but it makes sense, doesn't it? But when the rapture takes place, there's going to be immediate devastation. How many of y'all right now know what you're going to be doing when the rapture takes place? Well, we're going to be going up, but I'm talking about seconds before the rapture takes place. Does anybody know what you're going to be doing? No. Now, what if you're driving the Coke truck down 95? You drive a big 18-wheeler, don't you? You drive the van? What doesn't matter, one or the other. Yeah, I mean, you're driving the van down 95. And you know, when you're driving on 95, you just about have to drive 95 to be safe, right? When the rapture takes place and Jesus says, Michael, come on up, are you going to say, okay, hold on, Lord, I'm going to pull it over to the side? Yeah, that van is now going to become an unguided missile doing 80 to 90 miles an hour, and it's going to hit whatever it hits. Now, can you imagine? Listen, I'm talking immediate devastation. Well, it's not going to be that bad. Oh, yeah, it is. I imagine there's going to be planes falling from the sky. Everything, every major highway, every road is going to be blocked and in utter destruction. There's going to be fires everywhere. There's going to be dead bodies everywhere. Hold on a second, Brother Kyle. What are you talking about, dead bodies? The people who are going to heaven. Yeah, but those unguided cars are going to hit cars full of people who aren't saved, and their bodies are going to be everywhere. It's going to be utter chaos, total destruction. They're going to run into buildings. They're going to run into bridges. It's going to be unbelievable chaotic when the rapture takes place. The second thing I want you to see is this. It's going to be unbelievable devastation and chaos, but there's going to be searching for those who are missing. There's going to be searching for those who are missing. Listen to me. There are going to be people in this congregation who are looking for people in this congregation. I remember the last ministry, Amy drove 54 miles from the house to the school every day. And it was back country roads. And it scared me at times, especially when daylight savings time hit, because it's dark down those roads. There is no lights down that road they used to take. Well, she had a meeting after school, and she had something else to do. And the boys weren't with her for some reason. And she hadn't called me, Gary. I knew she should be on her way home. And it was past time for her to be home. And I know everybody loves their wives, but you don't love your wife the way I love my wife. I was scared. I was worried. And another 30, 45 minutes went by, and I was scared. I got worried. And you know what I was doing, Bob? I was calling the number, texting, Facebook. I mean, she wasn't responding to nothing. Nothing. Now, it's okay when they do it, right? But when we do it, it's about like the rapture here on earth, being left behind, right? But she wasn't responding. And Dan, I was getting worried, really worried. This is how worried I got. I got on the phone to one of my friends, Earl Jr., who was a DNA agent, not DNA, DNR agent at the time. I said, Earl, can you call the sheriff and find out if there was a wreck on this road in between here and here? I said, Amy's not responding. I'm really worried. That was when she was gone for a couple hours, y'all, and I couldn't reach her. When the rapture takes place and people are gone, listen, they're gone. They're not going to be responding to any text, any phone calls, no Facebook messages. They are gone. They are in the presence of God. They're not worried about anything that's taking place on here on the world. Listen, they're in the Shekinah glory of God, singing praises and hallelujah to Jesus Christ. They're not worried about what's taking place here anymore. They're not going to respond anymore. But you're still searching. You're still looking. Can you imagine loving somebody so much and looking and looking and looking and not being able to find them? It's going to happen. Listen to me. It's going to happen to somebody in this church this morning. You're going to search and not going to be able to find them. Something else is going to happen, though, as well. There's going to be great speculation as to how many people are missing. How in the world? How in the world are thousands, possibly millions of people all at one time missing? Just disappear. Now, there's different pastors and there's different people who come up with their ideas. Listen to me, church. Satan is the great what? Deceiver. He is the great deceiver. Listen, I promise you right now, he's trying to come up with a plan to figure out how he's going to dupe the world and convince them that, you know, somebody else is taking them or something is taking them. You're talking about thousands or millions of people disappearing all at the same time. Satan's going to have an answer. Now, I could give you my theory, but it might get me run out of this church. I don't know. Pastor's crazy. I don't know. But listen, this is what's going to happen in all the confusion. Who do you think China's going to be blaming, Bob? Who do you think Russia's going to be blaming? Who do you think South America's going to be blaming? And Australia's going to be blaming? They're going to know they didn't do anything. These Chinese people, they've come up with a super weapon. Those North Koreans, they've been coming up with weapons. Nobody knows what they're doing. It's the Iranians. No, it's the Iraqis. It's the Arabs. It's these people. Now you tell me, we've got all this nuclear technology sitting around and thousands of people. Listen, we get upset when people mess with one or two people. I mean, we've got a military soldier right now in Mexico, which he needs to be released. I say we go get him, Jason. Amen? Hey, listen, we're all up in arms. You're talking about thousands of people disappearing. I imagine there's going to be fingers on a lot of bombs pointing in other directions when this takes place. They're looking to blame somebody for millions of people's disappearance in their own country. Next, church, I believe somehow, some way along this path, when the rapture takes place, somehow, Bill, the truth is going to leak out. Somebody's going to, you know, hold on a second, guys. Wait a second. I think I remember something. They're going to go back and they're going to find a copy of the Word of God, because, you know, the Word of God's always going to be on earth. Y'all know that, right? And they're going to sit down and they're going to figure out exactly what took place. That the rapture of the church took place. And they're going to come forward and say, listen, guys, hey, listen. I think what Jesus was talking about, I think that he was for real. He came and we missed it. And I believe at this point in time, all those who were searching, who really and truly they knew, that they knew that they'd missed it, but they didn't want to admit it. They knew that their wife and their children were truly saved and they weren't, and they didn't want to admit it. They just wanted to have a fantasy that they were somewhere else. And the manly desire, I've got to find them. That they wanted to believe that. And when the truth comes out and they finally believe the truth, Bill, I believe you're going to see more suicides worldwide than you've ever seen in your life. Mass suicides. Because they finally realized that they rejected the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. They're eternally separated from the one and only God and the family who has gone to be with them. But I don't believe that's all that's going to take place. I believe that there's going to be mass chaos, riots, confusion will ensue. There's going to be food shortages. And you think, well, I've got all this technology. I'll be able to. No, you won't. No, there's going to be a technology breakdown like you've never seen before in all your life. It is going to be utter chaos on this earth. Around this time, you're going to see one world government suppression. Well, what are you talking about, Brother Kyle? Listen, have y'all ever heard of martial law? Brother Frank, have you ever heard of martial law? When all this chaos starts taking place, there's going to be martial law. Well, Brother Kyle, you're just going crazy. Do y'all ever heard of a town called Ferguson, Missouri? Y'all follow that story? Now, I'm not going to go into the details, but a little bit. A man, doesn't matter what color he was, do you hear me? A man was threatening a police officer. The police officer feared for his life, and he shot him. Now, he probably shouldn't have shot him as many times as he did, but listen, have you ever tried to unload, you know, when you're holding a semi-automatic weapon, it happens. But listen, whether you which side you think, you know, is right or which side you think is wrong, this is what I want you to focus on. One man died. Have y'all watched the news stories of what's taking place in Ferguson? The utter chaos, the looting, the unbelievable atrocities that are taking place there, burning buildings, taking... Listen, that's one person. That's just one person. We're talking about thousands, maybe millions of people disappearing. What do you think that's going to look like? It's going to be unbelievable. Now, I can't imagine living here on earth with all of what I just stated above. And listen, I believe I've just touched the tip of the iceberg. But church, listen to me. It is going to be horrible. But can I tell you that what I've just stated above is nothing compared to what's coming next? Anybody want to live through what I just talked about? Anybody want to sign up for that? You're alone. Nobody wants to sign up for that. Church, what could be worse? The wrath of God. Because you see, all of this is gonna happen just as a residual of those leaving the earth. All of this is gonna happen on its own. And then on top of this, you have the wrath of God poured out on this earth. Who wants to stay? Well, Brother Kyle, I don't understand what you're saying here. What are you talking about, the wrath of God? We're talking about seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, seven bowl judgments. And I don't have time to break it all down. But look in your Bible. Google it. Look it up. The wrath of God is going to be unbelievable. Church, there's two scriptures that stand out and scare me, your pastor. They make your pastor's heart melt and make me fear for those who will be left behind more than any other. One is one that I've quoted several times, and it's been a topic of several Sunday school discussion classes. It's seen in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12, and I'm not going to take time to read it because I've read it so many times. Listen to me. If you don't, this is not my opinion. According to Scripture, if you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ today and you turn your back and you walk out those doors, if the rapture takes place, you will not have an opportunity to accept Christ ever again. Brother Kyle, that's your opinion. No, it's really not. That's what Scripture says. Well, the Bible says, whomsoever. Yeah, that's right. Right now, before the rapture takes place, you'll be made to believe a lie that Satan is the true Messiah. You'll walk that walk. Listen to me. Well, what's the second scripture that scares you the most, Brother Kyle? The second scripture is seen in Proverbs. Church, I want you to listen to wisdom's plea. What is the book of Proverbs? It's a book of wisdom. Wisdom. This morning, I want you to listen to wisdom's plea. It's pleading to you. It's pleading to me. It's wanting you to wake up. Listen to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 says. Wisdom calls out in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. She cries out above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. Is she trying to hide? Is wisdom trying to hide? Is the Word of God trying to hide? No! The Word of God is screaming out to us that we might accept Jesus for who He is. But listen, verse 22. How long, foolish ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you be mockers enjoying mocking, and you fools hate knowledge? How long? How long will you turn your back on God and say He's not real and love the things of this world more than things of God? I didn't say this. Scripture says that you're fools. You're playing with something you don't know what you're playing with. It's dangerous. Look at verse 23. Wisdom plea continues. If you turn to my discipline, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. Since I called out and you refused, I called, Ricky. I called. Since I called out and you refused, extended my hand and no one paid attention, since you neglected all my counsel and did not accept my correction. Y'all ready for this? I, in turn, will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when trouble and stress overcome you, they will call me, but I will not answer. They will search for me, but they won't find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They were not interested in my counsel, and they rejected all my correction. They will eat the fruit of their way and be gluttoned with their own schemes. For the waywardness of the inexperienced will kill you, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. There's good news, though. But whoever listens to me will live securely and will be free from the fear of danger. Listen to me, church. Right now, God is still calling out to you. He so desires for you to come to Him. He so desires... Listen to me, church. God does not want any of this to happen to you. He wants you to go up when the trumpet of the Lord sounds like all the other believers. This is not His desire for you. If this happens to you, you can't blame God. You'll have to blame yourself. Mark, you know what scares me about this? There's been times in my life as a pastor, and I've told y'all, Glenn, you could have found me in a fetal position underneath my desk sucking my thumb. I mean, just worn out, just tired. You know how I got peace? I got alone with the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't handle this. And He said, yeah, I know. Lord, I need a break. Yeah, I know. Lord, I need you to come and help me. Well, I've been waiting for you to call on me and ask me. Now I'm going to help you. There's been times, Mark, a couple of times where I mean, it just seemed like I went from one storm to another storm to another storm. And there was one time I just said, Lord, I know I'm getting strength in the storm. You're doing something that only you can do, but can I ask a personal favor? Jesus, please, can I just have a little break? Just a little, I just want a break. Recess, PE. And I thought it was kind of a redundant prayer. Like 6 months went by, and I mean nothing. It was wonderful. I mean, there for a while I thought I was out of the will of God because it was just wonderful. But then something else happened. The reason I said that is this. Do you know where peace comes from? When you get down on your knees and you communicate with the Savior. That's where peace comes from. According to this scripture. Listen, according to this scripture, if you don't call out to Him now after the rapture takes place, listen to me. In your time of calamity because you've refused God, He's not going to hear your prayer. He's not going to acknowledge you. What does that mean, Brother Kyle? Where does your peace come from? My relationship with God. I can't imagine Ricky going through all of this and then getting on my face before God and say, God, I need your help. And I offered you your help and you didn't want it then. You're on your own. I can't imagine. I've talked to people who are in hospitals and held their hands and prayed with them, and they've looked at me and they've said things like you've said, Miss Porter, this morning. I don't know how people get along lost. I don't know how people get along without their church family. I don't either. I really don't. But for 7 years, it's going to happen. They're going to pray, God, God, oh, God, please. Who wants to live through that? Who wants to be here for that? Church, what in the world can we learn from this lesson? Number one, this is easy. Number one, if you're lost, you know you're lost. You know you're lost. Everything's coming together. I'm not waiting for any more signs. I'm listening for a sign. It could be today. Listen, quit playing with God and get saved today. Today, here in a second, the music's going to start playing. If you're sitting in the middle aisle, tap the person on the shoulder, let them get around, hey, and come down. We will rejoice with you. We will rejoice with you over your salvation. Brother Kyle, I thought I was saved, and I've done this 5 or 6 times. Hey, listen, I've told my children from a young age, I don't care if I have to baptize you in every pond in the state of Georgia, if that's what it takes for you to truly know that you're saved. Know this morning that you're truly saved. Know this morning. Secondly, church, we've got some work to do. We need to quit playing church and start getting to work for God. Do you hear me? Do you know that there's people who drive by this church and they say, well, you know, all those people, they don't do nothing. And a lot of times they're right. Let's get busy serving God. Amen? Let's quit playing church and start serving Jesus Christ and acting like He is who we say He is, and that's our Lord and Savior. Let's all stand, head bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would move this morning, that You'd penetrate the hearts of every lost person in this room this morning, that they'll come down and truly accept You as their personal Savior. I pray that You'd penetrate the hearts of every saved person, Lord, and help us, Lord, to get on fire and do something for You. Something. This is Your time. This is Your invitation. Lord Jesus, let Your Spirit move. As the music plays with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?